are about to have a look at the possibilities for the future of farming. We like to have a look at have a chat with our futurists on a Monday afternoon. Today, farming the topic.
Stand by for retina print identification.
Initializing time. Travel.
Robotic.
Mizulowski is a business futurist who very kindly has a bit of a natter to us on a Monday afternoon. Hello, Morris.
Hello, Barry. And I love having a natter.
That's good to see that you do. Broad brush look at the future of farming. What do you see it as being?
Most incredible. Firstly, let's put it into context. There are going to be humans farming forever. It's not a conversation of pure technology, but it's a conversation of technology increasingly doing the back end, the heavy lifting of farming. And it's incredible how far the whole agricultural industry's come. When I first started consulting in about 12 years ago, farmers rightly said, we don't have time for this, we don't even have a mobile phone, forget all this technology. And over the last 5 years, 6 years, they have become my pin-up people of technology adoption. Incredible the things they're using it for.
I mean, drones are one of the things, aren't they? What role do you see, they're playing a role currently, but what role do you see that expanding out into?
So one of the ones is absolutely drones. And when I was doing a radio segment late last year, I had some interesting callers from many farms around Australia, and a number of them said they were using drones for cattle mustering, whereas before they might have been using motorbikes or helicopters. They could now do it by drone, and that was incredible. Others are using it to be able to do surveillance across their crops, to be able to see across their land, to be able to find water and to be able to find issues. So drones is definitely one of the technologies that are rising. It's relatively inexpensive. They're a couple of thousand dollars for something that's pretty good, and they can be used almost out of the box.
If we look at the types of technology that farmers are using at the moment, how would you see the drone technology changing, the technology itself?
Well, it's not just drones, it really is the concept of technology. What's fascinating is in the last 5 years, there's been $800 million spent by venture capitalists across the globe in this entire space. And what's happened is that we've begun to look at agriculture as a business, as it always was, but as it always should have been recognised. And you're finding lots of players around the world who are specifically looking at various activities done on the farm. For instance, there's satellites now that are up there that can be hired, rented, an hour or so at a time, and they can go over your land and they can take pictures of crops, they can tell you where irrigation is required, they can tell you when crops are ready to pick. They can also send automatic messages down to robots and drones on the ground that can be then sent out without humans to plant, to fertilize, to water, to irrigate, to do all sorts of things. We're beginning to see this whole concept of technology working, sometimes independently of farmers, and farmers doing what they've always done so well, using wisdom that they have.
My guest is Morris Mizulowski. Morris joins us every Monday for a bit of a chat about possibilities in the future. Today we're looking at farming. Jeff from Balingup called earlier to say, thinks the future of farming will all be about restoring farmland for regenerative agriculture. What do you say to that, Morris?
It may well be. I'm not sure if it will all be about that, but certainly there's a big pushback to it. We have over-fertilised, we've done all kinds of things to our land. We tried to industrialise it, and we've found over the last few years that perhaps that wasn't the best thing to do. It certainly gave us the yield, and that's one of the issues we have going forward. More people that we need to feed, less land, less people, less water to deal with. But we'll definitely push back. There's a lot of conversations about how we can do that.
There was an episode of Catalyst a couple of weeks ago that was looking at the percentage of your job that's going to be taken over by robots. What do you say? I think for journalists it was like 25% within a certain time period, maybe even a little bit more. Most people underestimated what it was, but what do you see it as being for farming?
60% plus easily.
Really?
Yeah, and that's mostly because a lot of the jobs that have to be done, it's almost impossible to find people to do them. We're talking in Australian context here. That a lot of the hard work, a lot of the labouring is just impossible to find enough people, enough hands-on to be able to get the volume and the time that we need. And increasingly the technology can do it. There's some really good stuff out there. If your listeners want to type in Prospero, P-R-O-S-P-E-R-O, it's a series of what are called swarm drones. And this will age me anyway, but remember back to the Addams Family, perhaps not, there was this character called The Thing. It was the Hand.
Don't worry, I remember.
So the Hand came out and it did all kinds of things. Prospero is a mechanical hand of sorts, and it works in concert with many. So you can put 2, 3, 1,000 of them together. And they literally run around the land, and they will plant seeds, and they'll irrigate, and they'll do all kinds of really interesting things. Now, that's not science fiction. You can buy that right now. There are robots across the planet, especially being used in America, that literally will pick all of the salad crops. So a supermarket will send a notice out to the farmer that it requires X number of plastic bags of lettuce or whatever it needs.
Plastic bags.
Oh, no, sorry, that's right. Although in America, they're still using it.
Yeah.
So pre-bagged is where this one works. And the robot will actually go out and it will pick what's required, exactly the leaves that are required, exactly the leaves that are ready for picking. It will bring them all back, it'll wash them, bag them, and put them on the back of a truck, all without humans doing it. So there are lots of these things around, lots of sensors being built in. All of these bits and pieces are beginning to help our farmers. And again, going back to your point, that's why I think we're going to lose about 60% of our farming jobs, and they will become far higher order jobs than they were before.
Glenn on the text line says, Barry, go to seedetrun.com. This is what we'll see there in terms of the future of grain farming. Thank you for that, Glenn. Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
I'll look forward to having a look.
He's got that right. It's seedetrun, so seedetrun.com.
Thanks for that, Glenn. I'll have a look.
Maurice Mazalowski, my guest, our futurist on a Monday afternoon. Vertical farming, you've written about that. What is it?
Yeah, so vertical farming is something that's taking off around the world. It is a very different way of farming. It works inside of buildings. It's being used inside of old warehouses, but where it's being used most effectively is in Japan. So it's multi-story, think like a skyscraper. You can have as many stories as you want, and the one in Japan is called Mirai, M-I-R-A-I. It is the largest facility at this stage on the planet, 25,000 square feet. But this is why it's interesting. The facility uses 40% less power than traditional growing on land. It's 80% less food waste, so pretty much everything it grows is usable. 99% less water than outdoor fields, and it's 100 times more productive. This is specifically for lettuce, and this is per day. It produces 10,000 lettuces per day.
And that comes on to my next question, which is, at the moment when we think about farms, we think about regional areas. But that may not necessarily be so from what you're saying with this vertical farming.
No, vertical farming is literally beginning to be used all around the world. Chicago, Singapore, Newark, all sorts of places have it now. What we're finding is that increasingly we're looking for ways that we can bring the crops closer to the city. And that's because of this notion of we want to understand where it's come and to reduce that footprint that it has. What we're seeing in the examples I've just given you in vertical is bringing it much closer, but there are also supermarkets around the planet that are experimenting with growing some crops. We're talking tomatoes, cucumbers, those sorts of things, literally on the property. Some of them grow them on the roof and you can pick them. Some of them are beginning to experiment using the technology from vertical farming, actually inside the supermarket themselves. Now, that's not going to be, of course, for everything, but it's interesting the way that we're changing our notion. And what I'm finding, what I love the most, is how connected we're beginning to become to our food. We were very disconnected not so long ago, and now we have far more interest in where it came from, how it was grown, how ethical it was, what its footprint was, all sorts of questions, which I think is terrific.
Maurice, it's always a pleasure. Thank you. Always full of lots of fascinating facts and details. Thanks a lot for being with us.
My pleasure.
Cheers, Maurice Mazalowski.